So we're looking more and more like a pure REIT these days. But even though we weren't quite there in 2017, we decided that we were close enough to make the REIT conversion make sense. And we're pleased that we did it.
Hello and welcome to the REIT Report. I'm your host, Sarah Borksell-Hito. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by Chris Benjamin, CEO of Honolulu-based Alexandra Baldwin. Chris has served as CEO since 2016 and has announced he will retire at the end of June. Chris Nerick has enjoyed speaking to you many times over the years, so thank you for joining the REIT Report today.
Well, thank you for having me.
I wanted to start by asking you about your extensive support for community organizations in Hawaii. What are some of the key issues that they are addressing, and why has supporting them been an important complement to your executive role?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. You know, Hawaii is a unique place. It's a relatively small community. And because of that, we've got a unique opportunity to come together with businesses, nonprofits, educational institutions, government, to really tackle some of the thorniest issues in our community. Now, our issues are really not any different than most places. You know, we're dealing with affordable housing challenges, educational issues, climate change. You know, the list of issues is not that much different. But what's interesting in Hawaii is that because of our size, we quite frequently come together with the government leaders, you know, the governor, the four county mayors, business leaders, CEOs of most of the largest companies in town, nonprofit leaders, educators, and talk about how to tackle these issues. And that's unique, and it's an advantage of our size. The causes that I've been involved with over time have evolved. 25 plus years ago, I was the head of what was then called the Juvenile Diabetes Foundation. It's now called JDRF. I was the board chair. Later on, I was the chair of the Nature Conservancy. I chaired a capital campaign for a social service organization. I currently chair a climate coalition. And so while the issues that I've personally been involved with have evolved over time, the issues that our company has helped address have been wide-ranging really throughout, including housing and other social causes. And to tie it back to why is that important to my serving as CEO of A&B, our model as a company is all about partnering with our local community. And we believe that that gives us benefits and not just through the relationships that we build, but through the reputation that we build, the knowledge that we create, that we develop of the local community. And it helps us be a better property owner, landowner, community partner. And then again, in a small place like Hawaii, that really pays dividends from both a social ESG perspective, but very much so from a business and profit perspective.
What did make you decide to step down as CEO at this time? And what's next on your agenda?
Well, interestingly, my timing was pretty much set when I took the job about 7.5 years ago. I always had kind of circled my 60th birthday as my target for retirement. And that was because I always knew that I wanted to have another chapter after my role at A&B. But a couple of other things had to fall into place to make that timeline realistic and appropriate. Because, of course, my first duty is to the shareholders, and I wanted to make sure that my departure was the right thing for the company. And I think that at this stage, it's a very good time for a transition because we have nearly completed the significant transformation that we've gone through as a company. And we're a very diversified, operationally oriented conglomerate. Just 10 years ago, and still at the time that I took over the company as CEO in 2016, we had multiple business lines, diverse geography, and we've simplified that. And we're now a Hawaii-focused commercial real estate company. And so having completed that transformation with just one or two remaining steps ahead of us, I feel the time is appropriate, and it just so happens to coincide with my 60th birthday next month, and that it's time for Lance Parker, our current COO, to take over. Lance grew up in the real estate world. He lives and breathes commercial real estate. It's been his entire career, and it's a perfect time for someone with Lance's background to take over the company, whereas I have a much more generalist background. And so I think from that standpoint, it's good. And the other thing from personal perspective that has kind of fallen into place at the right time is I referenced earlier that I'm now chairing a climate coalition. I took that on about a year ago, and I'm very excited about putting more of my time and energy into that climate work. And so that is really the only thing that I have definitely on my plate going forward. And I'm going to be able to focus quite a bit of my time on that. And then, of course, just enjoying a little bit of downtime and thinking about what other activities I want to pursue in my next chapter.
Yeah, that sounds like a great combination.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm excited for Lance as well. Lance has been with the company for 18 years. We've worked hand in hand that entire time. And so there's going to be no lack of continuity in the transition. But importantly, I'm stepping away entirely. I'm stepping off the board because I feel it's important for a new CEO, especially one who knows the company so well. You know, if Lance were brand new, I might stay on the board for a couple of years to help and guide him. But at this point, he knows the company as well as I do. He's got his strategic vision, and I want him to be able to pursue it. And so I think it's important that we have that transition, and I'm excited for him.
Do you know the best strategies for decarbonizing the built environment? Are you interested in learning more about using AI in the workplace? Do you know how to effectively align your DEI targets with your business goals? Learn the answers to these questions and much more at NAREIT's REITworks Sustainability Conference, taking place June 28th and 29th in Las Vegas. Join professionals in sustainability, CSR, communications, DEI, finance, and law for 2 days of educational sessions, roundtables, and meaningful networking. Visit go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report to register. That's go.reit.com/REITworks REIT report. Just looking back a little bit, a big change shortly after you became CEO in 2016 was the company's REIT conversion. Why was the timing right for that?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. It's funny, but the very first day I worked at Alexander & Baldwin in 2001, the first assignment I was given by my then boss, who was the CFO, was to evaluate the merits of a REIT conversion. Again, that was 2001. We eventually made the change in 2017. So clearly, it was something that was not always the right choice for the company. I believed at that point, when we were, again, a diversified operating business with a shipping business and a development for sale business and agricultural businesses, that it did not make sense for us to be a REIT. And we evaluated it periodically over the years. The big change was in 2016, we shut down our large agricultural operation. And 4 years before that, we had spun off our shipping business. And so by 2017, we really were just a real estate company with the majority of our real estate interests in commercial real estate. And so as a public company, we've been public since 1900. As a public company in the commercial real estate space, we felt that a REIT conversion made sense and would open us up to an investor pool that had not traditionally looked at us when we were a real estate operating company. And so the timing was right. The challenge that we had was that we were not yet completely simplified. We did still have some legacy operating businesses. We did still have a development for sale business. And so we are now pretty much just down to our commercial real estate business. So we're looking more and more like a pure REIT these days. But even though we weren't quite there in 2017, we decided that we were close enough to make the REIT conversion make sense. And you know, we're pleased that we did it.
And you've touched on the transformation that the company's undergone. Can you talk a bit about the biggest challenges and rewards connected to those changes that you had to make?
The biggest challenge was turning a 150-year-old company into a focused commercial real estate business. We had not only the businesses that I've mentioned, but we also had a lot of liabilities associated with our 150 years of agriculture, pension plans and old sugar mills and reservoirs and environmental obligations. And so broadly speaking, that has been probably the single biggest challenge, is really transforming an old company into a new streamlined company. But I think we've done it extremely well. There have been some specific challenges that I think we've tackled well along the way. The shutdown of the sugar business, the last sugar plantation in Hawaii, we had to do that very thoughtfully and sensitively. And I think we did that. We've also, of course, had to navigate the pandemic. But I think we did that, and we showed our stripes as being very committed to our tenants through that process. But the single biggest thing was just trying to take a very old company and make it look and feel like a very new, vibrant company. And I think we've done that with the new team we've built in the commercial real estate business and in our corporate staffs.
Chris, are there other achievements during your tenure at A&B that are particularly meaningful to you?
You know, I think the biggest thing besides just the transformation of the business itself is the progress we've made in transforming the culture of the company. And I say progress because we're not done. There's still work to be done. But I think some of the things that we've done on the DEI front, on workforce development, engagement surveys that we've done with our employees to understand how we can be a better employer, I'm very proud of the fact that we've taken that on. I'm proud of the progress that we made. We received one of Nareit's DEI awards back in, I believe it was 2020, we received the Nareit Silver DEI award, reflective of some of the progress we've made there. As I said, we're not done. I want to have more gender equity in the senior management ranks. I want to continue to advance some of other things, other aspects of our DEI programs. But I'm proud of the trajectory that we're on. And I'm proud of the fact that it is largely employee driven. You know, of course, it's supported from the C-suite, but we've, I think, done a good job of getting our employees involved in identifying, prioritizing, and driving a lot of our workplace initiatives, DEI efforts, and our community and social engagement as well. And I'm very proud of that.
Now, your career path to AMB took several directions, including time spent in the US, Asia, and Mexico. Is that a strategy you'd recommend to others?
I love the sort of circuitous career path that I had early in my career. And frankly, even at A&B, I had a number of stops. I ran our sugar plantation for a while. I was our CFO for a while, chief operating officer for a while. But before I got to A&B in 2001, I joked that I couldn't keep a job because I was a management consultant. I worked at General Motors. I worked at Sony and worked in a dot-com in the tech industry. And so I think that's invaluable, that kind of diversity of experience. Now, it's not for everybody, and some people are much more linear in their career path, but I always encourage people not to get too focused, especially early in their career, on a linear career path, because I think that that exploration and that bouncing around can teach you a lot about business. It can also teach you a lot about yourself, and I wouldn't trade that the diverse career path for anything. It was very valuable to me.
So, Chris, what do you think you'll miss most about this job? And do you have any advice for your successor?
It's going to sound trite, but it really is the people. Let's set aside the fact that I'm incredibly impressed by the quality of people that we have at the company. I think we have the best real estate team in Hawaii and one of the best teams in the industry. But more than that, what I'm talking about is just we have good people. I think our company, which again is 150 years old, has been dedicated to the Hawaii community for all these years. I think it just attracts good people that care about what we do, care about our shareholders, care about our community. And I'm going to miss them. And because I am trying to make a clean break for the sake of my successor, I'm not going to have the interaction with this group of people as much anymore. And I will miss that. As far as advice for Lance as he takes over, it's really the same advice I would give to anybody moving into a CEO role. You have to take care of yourself in order to be able to take care of your company, your shareholders, your employees. And it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so I would encourage him and any other rising leader to make sure that they have good balance and they take care of their health and they take care of themselves so that they can take care of business and take care of the people around them.
I think that's advice that we don't really hear very often, but I think it's extremely important, as you say.
Yeah.
So, Chris, we've covered lots of ground, but is there anything else that you'd like to share?
You know, the last thing I would like to say actually relates to Nareit. And this may sound a little gratuitous, but I'm incredibly impressed by the work that Nareit does. And I've been involved in a lot of business groups, a lot of industry groups. And I've never seen an organization that does as much for its industry as Nareit does, quite frankly. And that is from the work it does in Washington and government relations, the work it's leading now in diversity, the DDEI council that I'm part of. I remember my first meeting of that group thinking it was going to be a lot of fluff, and it was a lot of substance, and it continues to be a lot of substance. And Nareit and the CEOs in Nareit really take this work seriously. And then specific to Hawaii, Nareit has done a phenomenal job of engaging in the Hawaii community. Over 5,000 miles away from their headquarters, Steve Wexler, Tony Edwards, and others have been directly engaged in looking at how Nareit can make a positive impact on Hawaii. And I think they've done that extremely well. So kudos to the organization. It's been an honor to be affiliated with Nareit. And I look forward to the work that they'll continue to do on these these fronts.
Chris, thank you so much and best of luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time and the opportunity.
And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this episode of the REIT Report, please subscribe or leave a review on your favorite podcast platform.